This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello and welcome. We have reached our adulthood.
Yes, yes.
As we are 18th, our 18th podcast, in the words of the immortal Alice Cooper, 18, and I know what I like. Anyway, that's us, 18 podcasts, and time fly. Yes, episode 18 of the Hairy Bikers Agony Uncles. I'm your Uncle Dave.
And guess what? Unsurprisingly, I'm your Uncle Si, and we're here to help guide you through, well, life's mishaps, troubles. And then not only can you listen to the podcast, you can now see our ugly mushes on YouTube. So we're making an effort.
Oh, your hair looks nice, Simon.
Does it?
Yeah. And you meant to say, so does yours. And I'm going, bollocks.
Yeah, well, that's why I didn't say it, dude. That's why.
It's all right. I've known you for many years.
I know. You know. Well, I'm going to say I'm good.
Oh, my beard's gone thin. I tell you what, people are rubbing my belly and making three wishes now.
Yeah, you might get to do Pando again this winter. You know what I mean?
The King and I.
Yeah,
that's us. It's us, isn't it? The King and I.
See? Yeah. It's a match made in heaven.
You're cleverer than you thought, aren't you?
Yeah, well, that was completely brilliant. By mistake, not designed.
No, you're looking bonny, me wee lad.
Bonny. So are you. So are you, mate. Yeah, bonny. Go on.
Yes, the Agony Uncles is now on YouTube.
God help
you. So you can watch the show as well as listen to the podcast. Yeah. To find it, just go to YouTube and search for the Hairy Bikers Agony Uncles.
No shit, Sherlock. Just go to... We're on YouTube. Where do you go? Twitter. No, it's YouTube, innit? It's got to be. Oh, yeah, no. So now remember, if you want to get in touch with us, go to the email address, which is agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. Because if you don't, we don't have a programme. Thank you.
And thanks so much for all the emails. It's great to hear from you. And I'd like to say hello to Sheena and Karen. Hi,
hello.
Sheena and Karen. Now, they wrote in to say that they made our Cumberland sausage tray bake. Steady. It's a manly sausage, the Cumberland sausage, I must say. From our comfort food show, they reckon it's the tastiest tray bake that they've ever had. It is. They asked why the Cumberland sausages were cut down. Could they use bigger ones? Darling, you can always use a bigger one if you fancy it. And that's the beauty of a Cumberland. You can have it cut whatever length you want. But we were just, you know... manageable, you know, one size fits all with us. So, honestly, we just cut them down because it's nice chunky bits.
I mean, because, like, it doesn't work if you have it, keep it in a ring, does it? You know what I mean? That's the whole...
Oh, I don't know, Cumberland ring.
Well, I mean, I know it does, but for this particular recipe, the reason that we're cutting it into bits is so you've got, like, an even distribution said sausage over the said dish, you see. So thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, no, I agree, Kingy. I think the technology of the tray bake, it suits a chopped-up banger.
It does.
Because you want to just dive in around a table.
And also on that subject of the comfort food series, Jay Collins asked, which of your kitchens were filmed in the series?
It was the corner of a studio, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was a mock-up. Looked cosy, though.
Yeah, it was cosy. And if we had a kitchen like that, it would mean that we had money, and we don't.
Posing the problems today... Here he is, that tinsel-tonseled, the thin white duke, Mr. Jeeves.
Oh. Tinsel-tonseled. I like that. Thank you.
Yes,
hello. It's nice to see everyone on the podcast. Actually, see us, yes, as you say, on YouTube. It's quite... I've had a haircut and I've had a shower this morning so that I look better on YouTube.
Great.
It doesn't make a slight bit of difference, does it?
No, it doesn't at all.
No. This is Mr. Jeeves, who's now living in a sauna in south of Oslo.
There was a couple of comments on it, actually, that said, is that studio in a caravan? And it's like, no, it's not in a caravan, it's in a narrowboat. So there you are. It's a narrowboat, not a caravan, or a sauna. Though it was hot the other day.
Although it would be. It's a narrowboat in the sun, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And listen, last but by absolutely no means least... She's back. The princess that is of the poshness, the queen of your questions. It's Posh Tash. Yay!
Actually, I was going to say to Mark, I wondered if you've had my problem. So I wear YouTube, got to look a bit better. I've put my red glasses on now. I've got my red lipstick on. However, I have been bitten alive the last few days in this weather. And I'm sure, Mark, you've got that problem on the narrowboat.
Yeah.
I have got bites in places I didn't know I could get bites. I sort of got them right behind my ear, yeah, one on my chin, you know, one on the crack under your bottom a bit, between your, yeah, thigh. Yeah. And I can't scratch them. So I'm a little fidgety, if I'm honest, today, because I've got so many bites.
Oh, man, you get so many bites.
Simon, it's problem time. Jingle those bells, babe.
Jingling.
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy Jack and Ori? Because I heard your advice is the best.
In this episode of the Hairy Bikers Agony Uncles, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, you're going to need to dig deep into your darkest dilemma dungeons to help our listeners with these troubles. We have a fishy issue. We have what to do with the falsies. We have the same old story. And we have a date with the sticky twins. But first of all, it's a fishy issue. That's Confidential Corner, by the way, Sticky Twins. A fishy issue. Here we go. Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, this comes from Jason. I have a seafood question for you. Mm-hmm. When I split a lobster and clean it out, what, in both your opinions, is the best thing to do with it? I'm a bit disappointed just eating the flesh cold. Can I bake it or fry it or do something else to bring out the best of it? Any advice would be welcome, says Jason, with a fishy issue. Over to you.
Where do we start? King, go on. You kick this one off. You are Captain Crustacean.
So, it depends what you want to do with it, Mocha. If you're splitting said lobster in half uncooked, that's one thing, because you can do what the flipping hell you like with it. I mean,
yeah, lobster Newberg, lobster Thermidor, classic recipes.
All of that. You can just put some beautiful garlic and garlic butter with some fresh dill through it. You know, or what goes really, really nicely is tarragon. That's really lovely with some lemon juice. And there's so many things you can do with it. But what I'm quite keen to know is what bits you're throwing out, because there's nothing that you really can't eat on a lobster particularly, other than that bit of a sack thing that you've just got to lift out of the head. So be careful when you're cutting them out. But
and the shell.
And well, obviously the
shell's useful, though.
Yeah, it is useful, yeah. Because what do we do with the shell, Uncle Dave?
We make a seafood stock. See, one of the things with a lobster that I love doing is to make it like one lobster will go around quite a few people. Sometimes I think there's something so indulgent about having, like Si said, just a lobster that's been halved, grilled or whatever with some lemon butter or garlic butter and just eating it, because it is special. But on the other hand, if you just blanch it, get the meat out, so it's basically part cooked, and then you can rake all the meat out, maybe serve it with pasta or risotto, but then the shells, just boil that down, and you can make a lovely sort of stock to make that said risotto, or a sauce for your pasta, for your lobster. Or one of the things that we found out, and it was at the time when one of the supermarkets selling, you know, at Christmas, like £5 lobster tails. They're okay, they're not the best, but make incredible lobster mousse out of them. And that does go a long way. And it's quite exotic for about a tenner. But you get some great lobsters near where you live, Kingy, don't you?
Well, yeah, we do. We're very, very lucky, very lucky in this part of the world. And as Dave says, there's a lovely recipe that we do. We do saffron linguine, and you just poach the lobster. Now, just bear with me. You poach the lobster very, very, very gently, the lobster tail particularly, with in butter. The butter just comes to the boil. You take it off the heat, and then you drop the lobster, and it remains really soft and unctuous. You don't serve it with the butter. You just take it out, you pat it dry, and you put that on top of your saffron linguine. And then, as Dave was saying, with the stock, you just nap the stock over it from some of the head meat as well, and you toss that through with some fresh herbs, and that's it. And that beautiful sauce over the top, it's really indulgent and lovely. It's so simple to do as well. It's really
I think one of the nicest things I ever did in France was I went to the market, and I bought three. I had about 12 people for lunch, and I bought three big lobsters. They
fabulous.
They were big. It was expensive, but I was feeding 12 people, and basically I just blanched them, took the meat out, and just made a lobster salad.
Beautiful.
And it was just gorgeous, you know, with all the dressings in a big crystal platter. Well, there was enough lobster for 12 people off these three lobsters, but it was the shells from these three ginormous lobsters that went down. And I made the next day, because the same a big sea bass for those 12 people, I made a lovely seafood sauce to nap that sea bass with. And also I did some risotto using that shellfish sauce from the lobsters. But there was something about just the lobster meat with some citrus and a salad that on a summer's day was just heaven. It was indulgent, but as I said, it was... It fed 12 people. So actually, per capita, I always say it was less than takeaway money. So, you know, that's always the benchmark, isn't it? If you're spending money on ingredients, if it's less than a takeaway, well, you can eat quite well, really.
I tell you, we had I'm moving crustacean to a crab. I got done in Asia, totally. We went to a restaurant. I'd only been out there about 6 months. My family came out to visit, and I took my mother's partner out for dinner, and obviously in Singapore it's quite famous for their crab and the bib on and your finger bowls, and it wasn't cheap, and they produced it, and my mum's partner, he was eating away and loving it, but we couldn't find the meat. There was no meat, and it was very odd. So I was thinking maybe that's a delicacy, it's the shell, and we were cracking it open, we couldn't find anything, because they sort of set it up as a crab again, they'd broken it apart. And I went up at the end and I went, just out of interest, there wasn't much meat for the amount that we were paying. And they went, oh, it was a female crab. And the female crabs don't have meat. They just have the shell. And I was like,
Well, really? That's complete and utter nonsense.
Bollocks, isn't it?
It is complete bollocks. Dave and I, it was hilarious. We were in Hong Kong. And what happened was we were going, I was like, oh, great, let's have a crab, dude. He's like, yeah, grand.
No, the waiter bought this crab that was the size of a West Highland Terrier.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you weigh it up, you know, it was heavy. And part of me thinks, because, you know, I love crab meat, but I'm not keen on the work. But I knew that I was in for like an hour of watching Kingy. I'd eat good bits and have a good feed, you know. But Kingy would be sucking and crunching and that. And I thought, oh, that's it. That's the day knackered. Never mind. So anyway, he says, I'll have it. And it was extortionately expensive, this crab.
That was ridiculous.
But what happened, Simon, when it turned up?
He had the audacity, right? The guy at the table, he kind of took a pen out and he marked the top of the shell with it, right? So he knew. And me and Tim were going, oh, this is going to be good. He came back. And I was like, what, is this shrunk in the wash? Had the same cross on it. This thieving git. And had the same cross on it. And I went to Dave. Dave looked at me, goes, Kingy, that's definitely not the same crab.
No.
So I went, oi! And he was like, no, it's the same crab. It's the same crab. I goes, dude. Anyway, it was that, yeah. That
we got
really,
nowhere, did we?
Absolutely nowhere.
Absolutely stonewalled with this thing.
Same with us. We argued it and argued it and argued it, going, we're not stupid people. That's surely not right. But no, the bill was paid and we had to walk away. It's outrageous they do that to us. They see tourism, maybe.
Well, they definitely see where they saw us coming, didn't they?
Yeah, I remember as well. I remember in Chennai as well. And I kind of thought, we were in this restaurant. Yeah. This is when Kingy, we do share a lot of food, you know, we share the love.
Yeah.
And anyway, they had lobster on the menu in this hotel, which in Chennai, you know, I thought, okay.
It was a nice hotel, though, to be fair.
Average. Yeah, we weren't sitting at the nice hotel. It was the BBC, let's face it.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. We were going
to
go to the nice hotel under our own steam to eat, except you got sick, so we couldn't go, but that's another story.
Yeah, that is another story.
But anyway, we came, and I said, no, I'll just have the king prawn curry, please. That's fine. And I said, are we going to share, Kingy? And he went, Anyway, of course, what happened was his lobster came and this thing was like, you know, it had been around the block a few times. And he turns to me and he goes, half is Dave.
Well, you know, you've got to like assess the situation as it unfolds. You know, this is the whole thing.
Dump your friend in it.
yeah, Dave, give us a bit of yours. This is crap.
Oh yeah, but the lobsters, it's really versatile. I still prefer crab though myself.
Yeah, it's tastier.
There's a champagne effect with lobster, though, isn't there? Mm. It makes you feel good about yourself, and it's a real treat.
Yeah, so we've got loads of recipes on Hairy Baker's Everything for lobster. We've also, look, dude, use your imagination. We've given you loads there. It's great.
Yeah, or even just with a bit of mayonnaise, fresh baguette, salad, a lobster sarnie.
Food makes everything better.
Our next problem is called What to Do with the Falsies, and this comes from Fiona, who says, good afternoon, one and all. The reason for my request for advice is that my other half of too many years has a couple of false teeth. This is something that I accept happens and isn't the issue. The issue is he takes them out to eat and just leaves them sitting there on the coffee table, on the grandchildren's toy box, anywhere really. Now, we also have the dumbest chocolate Labrador known to mankind, bless him.
Oh, no!
And being a chocolate Labrador, he will eat anything and everything. And on more than one occasion, I've had to remove said dentures from the dog's mouth, and it's beginning to get boring. Here's where I need your advice. Do I continue to retrieve the choppers or just let the dog chew them in peace, resting on his favourite duvet in his basket? I'm truly torn as to what to do. Do I let him keep his teeth or teach him a lesson about looking after his own things? I'm willing to buy some Zaflora you recommended. Oh, yeah, nice one. For when he eventually finds his teeth again. Please, what should I do? Many thanks, love and hugs, Fiona. Over to you.
I'll tell you what I would do. Right, I'd get a big box, right? I'd put his teeth in it, and on the top of the box, I'd go wanker right across the top.
Solves it, doesn't it? That's the one.
That's it. That's it, isn't it? You just wanker. You know what happens when you leave them there? Just put them in there, and that's it. And then you'll go, why is there a box with wanker on it? And then you can go, well, because you're an idiot. And the reason that you're an idiot is because the dog, no, I've got a better thing. Let the dog chew it and then get him to recover from the dog mess his own teeth.
What it confuses me is, why is he taking his teeth out to eat?
That's what I was going to say. No one does that.
Nobody does that. Who does that? Yeah.
But you know, the thing is, you think for his own sanity. One, you know, I'm fortunate enough not to have any false teeth, but presumably you depend on them to make eating easier, so they're quite precious. And also, from what I gather, they're not cheap.
No, I can't wait for false teeth. I want them really badly.
What?
I can't wait.
You can't? What
no,
for?
It's such a hassle. The teeth, the dentist. The dentist is bloody expensive. I'd rather just pay one-off fee, get a decent set of gnashers, put them in. You look good forever. They're not going to hurt you. There's no nerve damage. I think it's a dream. Can't wait.
I'm having my mum and dad, they had matching like rubber beakers by the bed. Yeah. And every night they'd take the teeth out and the heads would collapse.
And
honestly,
the dog smile every time the dog eats it.
Yeah, brilliant, yeah.
Well, maybe.
The Colgate smile.
Hey, dude, maybe that's why he takes, because they're expensive. This way, I might be getting to the bottom of this now. Because these champers are expensive, that's maybe why he takes them out when he eats.
Doesn't want to wear them out.
Doesn't want to wear them out. Or alternatively, the said lady could just feed him soft things so he never has to take his teeth out ever again. So he's basically just on a pureed diet. And then with the wanker box, you could have that, and it's a double whammy, you see.
Because I think people take them out to clean them, don't they, after they've eaten? If they got bits stuck in. I remember a friend of mine came over to stay with us in France, and it was the fete. You know, like the big festival. And Saturday night was always sausage and chips night. So there's a tent in the town square. And we're sitting around there. And the polystyrene tray comes down with sausage and chips. And ironically, it was just before my friend's daughter's wedding the week before. It's a partial denture. And what he'd done is, he took his gnashers out and just put them on the tray. And then the poor waitress had come and cleaned everything up and chucked his chompers. But he was gutted because he couldn't smile at his daughter's wedding photos.
Do you know this? You know why they have that have a dentist on board these super thingy liners? You know, there's where you go on cruises. Because what happens is men and women of a certain age throw up over the side after having too much to drink, lose their champers, and then have to go to the onboard dentist to say, my face is collapsed. Can you give it a cheap? Because I've got to go to the formal dinner in my placebo and I haven't got any champers. And can you imagine that?
Well, they could always use Polygrip Extra Strength.
Exactly, Dave. Exactly. Yes. We could do that.
You know, as a makeup artist, I used to have to carry that with me in my makeup kit discreetly. Because if you've got an actor and you can see on the camera if his teeth are starting to slip, you take them quietly to a corner and sorry, I've got some gear, you know, for you. And then you can tap them back in. You've got to be discreet about it, you know.
How do you do it, Dave? How do you put... Because I watched Bohemian Rhapsody the other day. Again, and obviously,
Freddie's teeth.
And they obviously put Freddie's teeth in, and that's a huge set of dentures.
They're all over dentures.
So they go over the top, like a puppet.
There's several specialty dentists who work in the film industry, and you basically go and take a cast of the mouth, and it's like an over denture that's very thin and very perfect that fits over the real teeth.
Wow.
I've had quite a few made, actually. Sometimes it's great, though, if you do have an actor who's got no teeth. She just paid to have a special set of brand new dentures made. But, you know, the thing is, you know, the first thing the actor's going, oh, great, I've got free teeth. But, yeah, but you're playing Mussolini, you know. So you start a good street look, do you know what I mean? But, yeah, I used to have some, actually, and used to keep them afterwards. And, you know, they're made to fit somebody else, but used to have quite a laugh with them, really.
I remember coming up to your place in Huntley and us trying other people's teeth in and trying to speak. Was
no!
Funny when you got a bit pissed, it was hilarious. Yeah. Didn't we have that mad sword fight in the street?
Yeah, we did.
We had that with somebody else's teeth in. I thought we did, because we were having I was kind of wrecked then.
We were young and stupid.
Yeah, we were.
But we still got our own teeth. But the moral of this tale is, leaving your teeth around is both expensive, unnecessary, and, you know, you could end up just eating soup till you get your new ones. It's daft. You do get denture pots, actually, which, again, as a makeup artist, one I had to carry.
Yeah, I mean, as you said about your parents, the beakers, I can remember my grandparents had cups left around. You always had the certain treatment inside. It would fizz away. I could even see the...
Sterident.
Sterident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what we did once at uni? Because the first hall of residence I was in, it was like shared bathroom, and the baths were in cubicles. Anyway, there was this lad who was lying there, you know, in his bath. He was taking too long. So we threw a whole tube of Sterident in the bath and said, "How's that for a jacuzzi?" Clean as anything. But do you know what? Have you noticed, King? There's, like, when we do the shoots for our cookbooks, you know.
Oh, yes.
We have to have manicures. Because there's all those shots of your hands, making pastry. And what they do is, they soak your fingers in Sterident.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and the Sterident makes your fingernails all super clean.
Wow.
Top tip, girls.
You see, I thought it was bleach.
No, mate, it's Sterident.
Huh. Bleach.
Technically bleach, though, isn't it?
Hey, you know.
Well, I don't know, you just put it in your mouth, so it can't be that harmful.
Bit of Domestos, be honest.
Oh, Sterident.
Wow. Yeah, well, good.
Yeah. Top tips, you see, you learn it all on Agony Uncles.
Hey, what's not to love? Aye. All the useless shit you never wanted to know, but now do.
They won't be calling you Nicotine Nelly anymore.
No, that'll be it. That'll be it. Right. Nicotine Nelly.
I want to channel the new fashion to having false teeth young. I want them in now.
They used to do that.
Yeah, my mum had her teeth out when she was 25. Mm. She had buck teeth, my mother, yeah. So she thought she had false ones, they were nicer. But no, it's hideous. Oh, no.
I want to kiss a woman that's teeth move. Why?
Oh, I don't know.
Or a man, come to that. Unless you're both in it together.
Enough, Kingy. I know which way.
Sorry. I was just working that. You know me so well. I was kind of thinking, oh, hold on.
Let's stop at level 7.
So story.
It might be bitten off. Let's just leave it at that.
Next.
Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk. Just send an email to the Agony Uncles.
Our next tale of woe is called The Same Old Story, and for this, I require a lady's name. So, Tash, would you be kind enough to give us a lady's name?
Why does this always feel so pressured when there are millions of female names out there?
There's quite a lot.
Patricia.
Patricia writes and says, "Hello, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash. Do you know, listening to you guys is like going home for a chat with your family when you're struggling a bit and need a little direction with life's challenges from people who genuinely love and care you about you. Aww. Therefore, I'm biting the bullet, as they say, and I'm being brave by putting pen to paper, or rather fingers to keyboard. I am Patricia. I'm 55, a mother of three grown children. I'm single and find myself, well, a bit lost and empty right now. You see, my father died when I was 14, so I grew up feeling I needed to look after my mum and be there for her. She was a great mum, but also a bit manipulative and made me believe that I needed to think of others over myself and please them instead of me. So I took this quite literally, and I've ended up spending my life looking after, caring for, and trying to fix other people and their issues for them without ever really loving myself. At 21, I met a man who was twice my age. His marriage had ended and I felt he needed looking after. We married and ended up having three children, but he was repeatedly unfaithful, manipulative, abusive, always blaming me for any problems and making me feel like all our issues were my fault. Through counselling, I learned to understand that I was in an abusive relationship, and after 24 years, I sought the courage to leave. And after some time, my children convinced me to try online dating, and I eventually met someone who seemed just my type. The relationship started well with motorbike rides around Cornwall, but again, over time, it went the same way as before. He would leave me after the simplest disagreement, making me believe it was my fault, and over time took nearly £170,000 from me, abusing my good nature. My counselling has helped me to understand how these relationship issues happen, but my biggest question is, how do I find a partner who I can trust? I'm beginning to give up hope now, and I accept that at 55 I might just have to go it alone. I long to find someone who lives from the heart, someone to whom family matters, who I can share the ebb and flow of life with and who'll dance around the kitchen with me. So, firstly, I ask you, does such a man exist and how do I find him? And more importantly, how do I keep my heart safe this time and ensure that whoever I offer my love and soul to will treasure it and treat it as something precious and there to be cherished?" And that comes from Patricia.
Oh, Patricia, my heart does feel for you. First thing is, you just got to keep getting back in the game. And I suppose the thing is, if a fish smells off, then it's generally off. So basically, if the first whiff of somebody being abusive, manipulative, or not being what you want, walk on to the next one. You know, because 55 is no age, it's nothing. You know, I would say, you know, like, Kiki's 10 years younger than me, but my 50s were the best years of my life. And to be fair, my 60s, you know, till I got ill at the minute, were shaping up to be my best decade ever. You know, so much to look forward to, Patricia. And you must do that. You must embrace it. But again, if a fish smells off, it's generally off.
I wonder whether she... maybe she gives over too much of herself too quickly. You know, she's so grateful for the relationship that she, I'm not blaming it on Patricia in the slightest, that's not what I'm going for, but she's so willing to please the other person that they take advantage and abuse, be it financially, you know, mentally, whatever. And I think that's a bit of a shame. So maybe she needs to spend more time on her own and love, as she said earlier, she wants to love herself. She needs to learn to love herself more and have a bit more, you know, strength and dignity to be stronger when a man starts to do that to her.
I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think that I know certainly there are some echoes of truth with my life too, with and Patricia's. And I think that somebody once said to me, "You can't love anybody else if you don't love yourself," and that is true. You can try, but you end up just getting it wrong a bit, I think. And I think particularly with, you know, Patricia sounds like a very emotionally mature human being and knows and is starting to get to know herself, because, you know, when you've spent your life, you know, trying to fix everybody else and mm-hmm. you forget about yourself, and then you have this kind of epiphany of going, "Flip, Nora, I don't even know who I am anymore. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know. I don't have the tools or anything to kind of have those meaningful relationships. And it's hard. But I think, as Dave says, you know, you just got to keep going and keep doing it and just keep trying to find. And like you know, it's very true that if you think that there's something not right, it normally is the case that there isn't. That it's not right. And you know, people like us, Patricia, we tend to attract narcissists because we're kind of, because as you were saying, Tash, what happens is that you do become very emotionally involved quite quickly because you think, oh great, I can just settle down, you know, I can do all of that and it's fine. And then you just get caught out with it because, you know, you wear your heart and your soul on your sleeve, and then it's easy to see. And for certain characters and personality types, that's easy to manipulate. So it's a fine line, isn't it? And it's also a painful line to walk. But you've got to keep walking it because life is for living. It's not for sitting there wondering what if.
Yeah, and I think as well, did you say Patricia had three children as well?
Yeah.
That's a hell of an achievement to bring three kids up. It's a lot of giving, a lot of time emotionally, a lot of love. It's a huge achievement, and it's a huge thing to be able to look back and say what you have done so far in the past. But even to use that as a foundation for building the future 30, 40 years, that's a really strong foundation, you know?
Absolutely, I agree. I think that it's a little bit like a bully system, isn't it? I had a massive issue when my kids were a bit younger. We talk about bullying at school. How do you stand up to a bully? And my husband's instinct was to go punch them back. If they punch you, you punch them back and they won't do it again. You stand up to a bully. I went, you don't do that. You don't hit anybody. You walk away, etc. And people have varying views on what that means. But I do wonder whether poor Patricia has literally been bullied left, right and centre, mentally and physically. And now has never quite stood up and done it back, because she's always just been a giver or, you know, just, it doesn't matter, don't worry about it, it's okay. You know, yes, you can have some money, or yes, it's okay, don't worry, I won't eat this evening, you eat. All those little things over time build up. But maybe she does need to stand up and go, you know what, I'm sorry, I can't lend you 10 grand, or sorry, no, I'm not going to pick you up tomorrow. She needs to stand up to them, I think.
And I think that's the hardest thing. The hardest word for a character and personality type like Patricia sounds like she is to say no. Saying no is not just in isolation. You actually have to back that up with thought and deed. And that's tough when you haven't been used to doing that.
I can appreciate that. I do. It's really tough. I also want to say to her, I just don't think they're all bad out there. She's clearly got two bad eggs. But they're not all like that. You know, there's a good guy out there for her that will love her and not abuse her in any way. And I think that's, she just needs to hold out and find that one.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
There's somebody for everybody.
There is somebody for everybody. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with finding that person later on in life. Sometimes it takes time. But she's got a lot of time left.
She might have a relationship again because she's only known one type of relationship. So the next relationship, she almost may subconsciously recreate it. But she needs to be really strong in her next relationship and not recreate that scenario again where she allows herself to be in that position. But that takes guts.
And also, you know, a little tool, and I'm sure if Patricia's been going to counselling or therapy or whatever, which she clearly has indicated, and also she's clearly indicated that our kids are pretty supportive by going, oh, Dad, Mom, go out and get a, you know, go date and go, you know, all of that. A little tool and a little trick that somebody taught me was to go, if you're attracted to somebody, ask yourself why. And if you cannot really come up with a clear answer, then move on and try and find and just look at somebody that you're maybe not that that's not your type. Try somebody that's not your type, and you never know. You just never know that you might just hit on a corker.
That's like going shopping and getting someone else to buy your clothes for you, because you wouldn't pick up half the things, but your mate picks that up and goes, try it on, you look great. Actually, somebody's saying, try this guy, just because he doesn't what you think, that's a great idea.
I had the same dilemma between a party ring and a Garibaldi. I didn't know which one to get. So, and I normally don't go for party rings. I go for Garibaldis, but I thought I'm going to go for a party ring. And you know what? I enjoyed a party ring. I haven't had one for about 30 years and I thought I'm having it. So I did.
What's a party ring?
It's one of those like really boring biscuits with like multicoloured stuff on the top. You know,
it's
like
boring.
Icing, you know. Well, exactly. You see, exactly, dude. Exactly. That's what I thought. But I thought, no, I'm gonna buy that party ring and enjoy it.
Did you actually buy a packet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I'm coming back.
Do you know why? Do you know why? This is really bad. You know why? My son was 30 not so long ago, and he loves a party tea. And and Janie, my ex-wife, bought party rings, and I couldn't resist. And Ada, my granddaughter, was nanging on this party ring, and she went, "Granda," and it gave us a bit of this party ring, and I got a proper, like, I've not had one of those for 30 years, so I went out and bought a packet.
Oh, I'll tell you what I did, because at the minute, you know, like we spent all these years, I'm sorry, Patricia, we're digressing.
Yeah, sorry.
But it's about doing, so we're all this thing with diet for years, haven't we? And I've watched myself, and I've, you know, as you have, Si. And of course, now I've got to get my calories in, and I've rediscovered Magnums. Blow me neck! You know, to have a doctor say, "Oh, I have two." Oh, oh.
You love them.
I don't know what I've been missing.
Oh, always have Magnums in our cupboard or in a freezer, not the cupboard. Obviously, they'd be a bit melty.
Yeah, but mine are on prescription.
Yes.
Oh, well, not really. They're in my head.
Do you know what David loves? I went once to a Magnum pop-up shop, and you walked in, you pick up the ice cream you want. Is it chocolate? Is it swirly? Is it caramel? And is it vanilla? And then you go down the line, they'll dip it in the right coloured chocolate, and they'll put the whatever sprinkles you want on top, and they wrap it in the gold wrapper, and you walk out with your bespoke Magnum. Oh, divine. Divine.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Wow. That, so, Patricia, the moral of this tale is, if the bloke's a bit of an arse, dump him and go and have a Magnum, and you'll feel great.
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the agony uncles a line.
Okay, it's time to head down to Confidential Corner. And for this, it's called A Date with the Sticky Twins. We need one female and one male name, please. So Uncle Dave, a female name. Uncle Si, male name, please.
Brenda.
Brenda.
Matt.
Brenda and Matt. Well, this comes from Matt, who says, "Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, I'd like you please to take this seriously," Matt has written in.
Oh.
"I'd like your advice on how I might be able to change a really annoying habit that my new girlfriend, Brenda, has. She has baby names for all of our private parts, and it's freaking me out.
Oh, no.
My gentleman vegetables are known as Mr. Boing and the Sticky Twins."
You've got to be kidding us, Matt, man. How can we take it? Right, sorry. Okay, go on.
"She refers to her own downstairs area as Mrs. Tingle Fufu."
Oh,
now, when she... now, when she... For those of you who aren't watching YouTube, Tash is actually leaving the building. Now, when she looks at me and asks, "Would Mr. Boing like some snuggle time with Mrs. Tingle Fufu?" I have to say I find it quite a turn-off. I have spoken with her about this, but all she says is it's a bit of fun and I shouldn't be so weird about it. I've never been in a relationship where our private parts all have names. Am I being weird? Love, Matt." Over to you.
I used to have a girlfriend once and she used to refer to my old chap as Pie Wacket. Now, I don't know where it came from. But you know, Pie Wacket.
Pie Wacket!
Shh, I hope my missus isn't listening.
Shit, dude! Who calls the Willy Pie Wacket?
She used to call it Pie Wacket. But all these baby names that people have for each other, you know. Hello, Rabbit. Oh, no, get over you. No.
Do you know what I hate? You know, like when grown people still call their mum and dad mummy and daddy?
That's me.
Oh, see? What? What's that about?
She's always been mummy. She's always been mummy.
Oh, God.
I can see that. That's respect. No, that's good.
No.
Daddy.
She doesn't like mum. So I've never been able to buy a Mother's Day card with mum on it. It's always mummy.
That's weird, man.
But isn't it funny, though? Like, the names are always kind of like cutesy and infantile. But you want somebody to call your old fella Thor or something, like, you know, or the Mighty Hammer, you know, what's MC. It? You know,
Wait, so, like, when I was little, I used to have me Willy was me little man, right? But right. But like, I stopped doing that as soon as I was calling it that, like, it ate, you know.
And no, then you still do call it your little man.
Well, on occasion, yeah.
You have to me. You said, I'll just go on here. I'm just going man, Dave. Several times, yes.
You know, so, well, yeah, you know, every now and then. But, and then, you know, when I used to have to change my niece's nappies and stuff, we used to call her little Fairy Mary's tuppences, you know. Now, you just keep, you know, just keep your hand on your tuppence a minute and hold that there, and Uncle Si will try, you know. Anyway, so, you know, you change the nappy. So they were all like your little man and your tuppence. But, you know, you get to a point in intimacy where you don't want to be calling it that, do you? I mean, it's weird.
Do you remember that posh lady that we both know, we used to work with? She got a dog. And I said, oh, no, my dog, it's called Tuppence. And, of course, we just burst out laughing.
I'm laughing, yeah.
Yeah, because it's about something else where we're from.
So the problem I had was we called for my little girl when she was growing up. We called her private parts Nunu. And
yeah,
that's what it was, the normal one. But then I made friends with somebody through school and she introduced me to her husband. And they're actually very close friends now, but this was years ago. And she went, oh, this is my husband, Nuno. But I didn't hear Nuno, I heard Nunu. And I couldn't do both conversations. I couldn't look at him straight. And every time I wrote a card, a Christmas card, anything, it's like your fingers won't go into the right letters. I just wrote Nunu every single time. And it was mortifying. I'm not sure she knew that's what I called it, but it ruined it. The very, very lovely big Portuguese guy called Nuno, but he was Nunu to me.
It's like the couples that talk in baby talk to each other. It makes me want to chuck. You know, baby, boo, 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 boo.
Oh God, that's it. Look, I think there's a couple you have. Oh yeah, it does me chump in that.
Yeah.
You know, in intimacy, you have your own private language as a couple, don't you? You mean it's like, you know, and you have that. You do have that because it's that connection that sometimes you let your kids into, and sometimes you're not. You know, and then the kids go, "Oh, stop it! It's going to make me throw up."
Yeah.
You know, and all of that. You just do it to irritate them. But all of that, man, is a bit weird.
At the weekend, Kingy, they replayed our Tokyo episode of The Asian Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a bit like that. We went to the maid's cafe, do you remember? Where the waitresses dress up as, like, young girls.
Yeah.
And the girl is, meow, meow. It's all this Hello Kitty thing, you know.
Sweet.
And but it's like businessmen will come in for a burger, but the burger's shaped like a teddy with little ladies. And like, these ladies sitting and going, meow, meow. And it was, I was watching it. It was hilarious because you were going, I was winding you up because obviously we were there to film it and it was quite extraordinary. So what I was doing is I was impersonating the girls to wind you up, which I thought was quite acceptable.
Yes.
And of course, watching you, I thought you were going to thump me.
It was just, it was
sinister.
Sinister, man.
But Kingy, what was worse was, I went back to Tokyo after we finished filming and Lil joined me out there. And obviously, you know, bits where you film, you know, you knew where they were. So I took Lil for a cup of tea. I said, this place is proper weird. But what they did, they didn't have it for the camera. But once the filming had gone, they had like a VIP table
right.
where businessmen could come and sit and just kind of observe all this crap going on. You know, and the girls would talk to me in baby talk and stuff. Really very sinister.
Yeah, I just.
But it was funny watching you on national telly this weekend. Like, we did the sumo thing again, which was quite manly.
Sorry.
But then watching you with a pair of kitten ears, looking at a teddy bear-shaped katsu curry. Hilarious.
You know, but when you name your parts like they have, Mr. Boing and Mrs. Fluffy, whatever you want.
Pie whack it.
Your pie whacket. That pie whacket, it would imply it's got some action. It's going to do something. It's going to
like a cricket bat.
Yeah, it's got some action. But I mean, you know, all this Mr. Boing, that I can't bear it. But it's like there are two other people in the relationship.
Actually, it is actually starting to make me feel slightly nauseous. It's like I can get away with Mr. Pie Whacket and your little man and your tuppence, but Mr. Boy. Nah.
Nah.
Too much. Dude, listen, honestly, if you're after advice, either she stops calling it and it's not you that's being weird, but I'd get on your bike, man, and get out of there. It's weird, man.
I would suggest Mr. Boy needs to leave the relationship. I think you'd say, can we let Mr. Boy go now, please? And I'll just have my manhood back.
Yeah, and just get, you know, a man up and just go, listen, I find it properly weird. And I know that you may think that I'm weird, but this isn't working for me at all. Because Mr. Boing is far away from being boingy every time you call it Mr. Boing.
Well, that's fair enough.
He's named by default. You know,
yeah.
Well, we've changed his name, Mr. Boing. It's now going to be...
Pie Whack It.
Now come here.
Come here.
Hi.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk. Yeah.
Well, as always, thank you all so much for contacting the show and sending us your weird, wonderful, colourful and often completely bonkers problems.
Now, we do have a bulging post bag. That's not a euphemism.
And that's not that's Mr. Piewacker talking right there.
But there's always room for more. So send your trials and tribulations in to agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
Now, look, guys, you can always help us out by following the podcast and you can also rate and review it. So please, please do, because otherwise we will continue to remain as poor as church mice. That means we get to speak to more people and spread the love even further. So give us a hand and let them do that for us, would you?
So, from Posh Tash.
Bye-bye.
The Thin White Duke.
Goodbye.
My lovely chum.
Bye, bro.
And myself. Lots of love to everybody and have a good week.
Lots of love. See you soon.